The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Great to be with you guys today. I'm hoping that we have a little bit better outcome tomorrow with the Hawks. I know it's a show about finance, but holy smokes, that game last week killed me. Anyway, I know I can vent to you guys, fellow Seattleites. But we'll get right into this. We always start with a market update if you're just joining us. And that's going to come up right now. But first, I want to give you a preview. We're doing something different this week. We're switching it up. And we always do a client question segment, right? And I'm going to talk about this more in the at the end of the market segment. But this whole show, after the market update, is going to be based on client questions. And it's 3 to 4. I think there's 4 altogether. One's a two-part question. But these are the questions that I get asked all the time. And more recently. And we're going to base the show on that. So, and the questions, those 4 questions are around the topics of markets and valuation and how they relate to market movements, right? And then we're going to have another one entitled Anatomy of Collapse, how market collapses happen and what causes them. We're going to talk about annuities. Haven't talked about that in a while. Not right for everybody, but it's something in this 0% interest rate environment we got to pay attention to. So I want to talk about the truths and lies and myths surrounding annuities. And want to talk about risk management in general and what that means and revisit that. Because based on the questions I'm getting, I haven't done a good enough job explaining it. So hopefully we'll do that. What happened this week? We always do our market update. Got to know what's going on. More of the same. I will say the interesting thing now is that we've got a record period of time now that we've been bumping up against these levels, you know, 22,150 on the Dow. And for you, those of you that don't know, I know most people recognize the Dow as the stock market, but it's only 30 stocks, right? What we want to pay attention to is the S&P 500. That's the real gauge. S&P 500, we've hit all-time highs. Again, new ones. But we got to see, you know, where that goes. And we're not trying to time markets, but it's just an interesting time. And the reason we're watching market levels so closely is because it's all-time highs. It's fun to talk about. But we're also at historically high-priced markets. And I'm not going to beat you over the head. I know I talk about that all the time. But interesting thing is you're seeing oil kind of push up against that upper bound. And what it looks like to me, I hate to make prognostications, but what it looks like to me is it looks like we have the beginning of inflation setting in. And I don't mean to scare anybody. Inflation is, you know, it's a normal thing. What we're used to hearing about inflation and going, ooh, that's bad, is hyperinflation. You know, that's the kind of stuff that happened in the Weimar Republic in Germany, post-World War I. We've seen it in several. It's happening in Venezuela right now. And we're not predicting that. Is that a possibility at some point down the road? Well, yes. The question is the timeline, right? Obviously, I'm not a fan of record debts and record deficits that we've got in the United States. But the harsh reality of it is we have something underpinning our currency that nobody else does. And we're the reserve currency of the world. Which means that any oil transactions, this applies to a lot more than just oil. But oil, for instance. If you trade oil, those trades are denominated in U.S. dollars. So in order to trade oil, you've got to have U.S. dollars, right? If you're coming in with yuan or renminbi from China or yen from Japan or euro or, you know, whatever it is, you've got to convert that to U.S. dollars, right? So there's a supply and demand issue. Middle Eastern countries with their, you know, dinar and all the different, you know, Middle Eastern. I hate to be, you know, to condense it down to just a region, but you get the idea, right? We've got all these different currencies all over the world, and all of these countries, virtually all of them, trade in the oil market, right? So that's one instance of being the world's reserve currency. So the other thing that we've got going for us is that the United States, despite how bad, and it is, listen, you may not think it's an impending issue. You may not think that disaster is imminent. And I'm not saying that it is. What I am saying, what's a fact, and we always say on the show, right, get the opinions out and let's talk facts. The facts are, on a financial basis, the United States has never been in a worse position. Now, the flip side of that same coin is, the facts are also that the rest of the developed world is in worse shape. Financially, fiscally speaking, debt loads, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the adage that I like to use is that the United States is actually the cleanest dirty shirt. Now, it doesn't mean that you want to put it on and wear it to the wedding, right? It's not starched white pressed, you know, see, but it is the cleanest dirty shirt. I mean, it just is. Debt to GDP, deficits, revenue streams, size of the economy, you know, on several different levels. And so, you know, noticing the pickup in inflation, which is how we start going down this road anyway, is really important because every single thing that central banks have done around the world, Japan's been doing it for 30 years now. The Federal Reserve is actually new to the game, relatively, since 2008. You know, quantitative easing, 0% interest rates, all that stuff. What they're trying to do is generate inflation because these modern day economists, we refer to it as classical Keynesian economics, or neoclassical economics is another way to refer to it. They believe that growth and inflation are synonymous. And it makes sense to a certain degree, right? As asset prices are going up, people are selling them at higher levels. So let's say I buy a $1 million building, right? And I put $100,000 down, I carry the rest in finance. And 5 years later, I sell it for $1.5 million. Theoretically, monetarily, in monetary terms, when I sell that and somebody pays me cash, that's a new $500,000, right? Technically the money is created when the debt is issued, and I don't want to get too deep into that. But the point is that asset prices rise, more debt is issued to purchase them at those higher levels, and that new money, right, that's created, because we live in a fractional reserve banking system. So that new money that's created, there's more money circulating out there in the system, and so each dollar is inherently worth less, or so goes the theory. And so it's typically a byproduct of growth, inflation, modest rates of inflation. However, we've seen times in the United States where we've had good, solid growth. The 60s are a perfect example. Actually, it was more the late 50s, 60s, but in that general area, where we had good, sustained economic growth right around 3.5%, our long-term trend line, and we had subdued inflation. Now, I don't say all this because I want to bore you to death and make you drive off the side of the road, but I say it because what we've all been fighting, and the biggest reason for that is because really since World War II, despite some disastrous years by the peanut farmer himself, Jimmy Carter, the thing that has concerned us most as it relates to our retirement, as it relates to our houses, is deflation, right? That's what we've always been worried about. Inflation has never been an issue. And a lot of that has to do with what happened after World War II, where the United States inserted itself, built Europe back up, reconstruction. And part of that deal was all their currencies and governments and infrastructure were all shot to heck, right? And so the U.S. dollar became the de facto reserve currency, and it is today. And because of that, we had much more latitude in what we could do with our budgets, what we could do with our taxes, what we could do with our fiscal, you know, all that stuff. And because there was such a high demand, you had to have U.S. dollars if you wanted to trade. And so that buoyed and still does to this day, it buoys the value of the dollar. So the concern for us as investors has always been collapses or crashes, right? That's what we're worried about, except for a brief time in the 80s and late 70s. But what we're seeing now looks to be, and look, I'm not making a prognostication. I'm not telling you to go out and buy gold and sell all your dollars. But what we're seeing now on prices, the way that we measure, if you got a manufacturing company, the prices that they have to pay for the goods to purchase to make their, you know, their widgets, whatever it is they're making, producer price index, the PPI, we see that going up. The manufacturing index, we see it going up. The transports, we see it going up. Oil today is getting a bid and has seemed to bounce off some resistance at the $40 a barrel level. Gold, been doing well. We see the signs of inflation. We also see signs of economic growth picking up. Now, the flip side of that is that doesn't mean we're on a new dawn, right? It doesn't mean that we're prospering. These things, you know, go up and down, and they've tended to be really volatile, you know, especially over the last 5 years. But it's interesting to note that a lot of these inflationary signs are starting to peak up. And I think that's the main story of the market this week. And I think it's something to keep an eye on. Because, and we're going to get in this today. Today's going to be a little different. I'm going to switch gears on you here for a second. Today's going to be a little different. We usually have a client question that we bring up, right? But we did a client presentation in Seattle late last week for a special offering we were offering some of our clients. And I've been meeting with a lot of new clients, new people that have called in from the radio shows. And I've just been, you know, I've had some great questions lately, and I think they're really poignant. And so the whole show today, every segment we do is going to be based on a client question. Obviously, other than the market update, because we got to know what's going on, right? We got to keep our ear to the ground. And there's some great questions that I think everybody could benefit from. And obviously, they feed into what we talk about all the time, which is risk management. And they've been some great risk management questions. And I think that they're questions that most people have. I hear them, you know, I'm not talking about them this week because it's the first time I've heard them. They've just accumulated. And we say this all the time, right? Education is the best, it's the best protection. It's the best thing that, you know, the best service we can provide the listeners and our clients. And so we're going to talk about what I call in the next, well, two more segments from here, we're going to talk about something called anatomy of collapse, right? Clients ask me all the time, if prices are so high, why do we have money in the stock market at all? Why aren't we buying gold? Why aren't we putting it under our mattress? And we want to talk about the anatomy of collapse and what it is that we should be afraid of and what it is that we should be looking at and why we don't want to try to time markets. We can't do that. Rule number one, right? Most of you know that. And then we're going to do another segment on markets and valuation. I've had a lot of clients ask me recently, you know, markets are so high, they've got to collapse, right? And this is going to tie into anatomy of collapse. But before we talk about the anatomy of the collapse, we're going to talk about what high prices mean. Can they last? Just because something gets high in price doesn't mean it's going to imminently collapse, right? But it does mean that we should have increased caution. And then we're also going to talk about annuities. You guys have probably heard me talk about them before. There's so much misconception out there, and we're not an annuity shop. So I get that question a lot, and I always laugh. But we're gonna revisit annuities, and we're going to put a different spin on it, hopefully help you understand them. Because I guarantee you, 95% of you out there hear the word annuity and you shudder. And you should. Based on what you've been told and based on what the realities were 10 years ago. I preached against annuities forever. And I don't think they're right for everybody, but they have a place. Because they've changed a lot. They're not what you think. So anyway, those are the three basic questions we're going to focus on. As always, guys, feel free to give us a call. 866-779-RISK. You can talk to me directly. We can do a risk review over the phone. Or you can go to knowyourriskradio.com, listen to our podcast page there, request a meeting online. And, you know, hopefully we can provide you some information. We'll show you exactly what we're doing. We don't keep our cards close to the vest. So it's all about education. So anyway, we've got some great, we're going to do the whole show on client questions. So stick with us. I think they're the best ones I've heard. They're recurring. So I think they apply to most of you. And they're the most commonly asked. And so hopefully we can shed some light on it. So anyway, thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And thank you for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. And if you're just joining us, we are doing this segment and every segment of this show this week on client questions. And we did an investor event with current clients where we were showing them some interesting opportunities that we engage in with clients from time to time in addition to their normal investments. And between that and some new people we met there and then just a ton of new people that have called in that we've been meeting with over the last 2 weeks, well, I've just been flooded with a bunch of great questions. And probably the three or four of these questions I get asked the most often. And they're smart questions and they're asked by smart people. And I want to address it because, first of all, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there. I think there's a lot of opinion and not enough fact. I think there's a lot of anecdotal evidence or historical evidence or a lot of my dad and my grandfather did it this way, and so this is the way we always do it and don't listen to anything else. Despite the fact that we've seen over the last 18 years a lot of the traditional metrics and wisdoms, and we've seen them go down the drain. Now, it doesn't obviously mean that we want to abandon everything and run, you know, reinvent the wheel. But I think it's created, especially with more intelligent investors, a lot of questions. Right? Just so I recognize something's off, but what do I do? So that's what we're focused on. And the one we're going to talk about this segment is markets and valuations. We talk about the market every week. We talk about valuations almost every week. And if you're tired of hearing me talk about valuations, I would encourage you not to be. And I'd encourage you to pay a little closer attention. Not because we're going to teach you something. I'm not going to come at you arrogantly like that, but when we look at long-term returns of stock markets and cycles, valuations play a big impact. Now, they do not play an impact, contrary to popular belief, in market crashes, right? Markets do not crash just because they get expensive. But there is a relationship there. Because stocks, you know, oftentimes stocks have this mythical lottery-like, risk-like surrounding or aura. And really, they're like anything else. You know, meaning that we will see times of extraordinary actions, both high and low with stocks, like everything else. But, you know, we'd expect over the long run to return the averages, right? And the higher something goes in price, the higher outside the average it goes, the return to average is a bigger fall, right? Conversely, the lower something goes below the lower bound, and you know, all you have to do is take a, you know, freshman level class of statistics to realize that this is true, the higher the rebound on the upside, right? The further you go down, the more drastic that is, the higher the pop to the upside. And so that's something we need to pay attention to. But one of the questions that kept coming up was for clients that, you know, I meet with people from all walks of life with all different perspectives. People that say, look, I'm looking to make more money. I think this is great. Can you help me make more money? I get people that are scared to death. I don't want to leave my house. I'm freaked out. I literally have money underneath my bed. I've literally encountered that before. you know, what's the truth, right? So the number one comment I get from people that are more on the cautious side, that are more concerned about what they see going on in the world, is, look, valuations, Zach, they're so high. And I hear you talking about on the radio. I read in your booklet. I read the economic facts. And look, if you don't think valuations are high right now, you just got to read and you got to educate yourself, because it's not my opinion. I've been talking about this now for a year and a half on the air. And I don't really know why people have taken this long to get the realization, but as these valuations have gotten more obscene, this is mainstream now. Everybody recognizes we are well outside the normal valuation range on any metric. Okay, everybody admits that now. So that's kind of a bragging point for me. Now, and I don't mean that literally, but you know, I've been combating that for a year and a half. People, valuations aren't that crazy. Yes, they are. Yeah, you're just not looking at the right metric. So why people are waking up to that now, who knows? Okay, but I don't want to get too off track. So the comment I get, though, the question I get is, valuations are so high, don't markets have to collapse? And the answer to that, frustratingly, is no. Nothing makes markets inherently do this or that. And we're going to talk about why that is, which goes into our next question on the next segment. And that segment's going to be entitled The Anatomy of Collapse. So I don't want to give that away. But markets can stay irrationally high for a really long time. It's the old trading adage, that markets can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. Right? So I think most investors, especially the KTTH listeners like you guys, most of you know that timing the market is a fool's errand, right? What I don't see enough of, though, are people adjusting to expected returns. And when we talk about expected returns, the data is pretty conclusive, meaning that if you're investing right now and you're investing on the adage or the average of the last 100 years, saying I'm going to put in money right now and I expect to average 11% over the next 10 years because that's what the S&P 500 averages, I would tell you that you're probably making a big mistake. And it's not based on my opinion. It's based on averages, meaning if we go back into the market, we can't just look at the last 90 years because we'd be comparing today with periods of time like 2008, like 2000 when the tech bubble was collapsing, like 1929 when the S&P dropped 85%, right? We've got to compare it with like times. A good time to compare to today, incidentally, is 1999 and 1929. Now, those are extreme examples. And for those of you that don't know, 1929 precipitated, that was the beginning of the Great Depression, and a 85% collapse on the S&P 500. 1999 was the peak of the tech bubble. The NASDAQ dropped 83% from top to bottom, and the S&P shaved off half, 50%. Now, that doesn't mean that that's going to happen again. But what we need to do is we need to say, okay, we want to look at average rates of return, but we need to go back to periods of time that are similar to market valuations currently. And if we do that, if we do the work, if we look at the last 110 years, if you were to buy stocks anywhere close to valuations that we have today, which is, it's a hard comparison to make because the only two times in history that we've been close to these valuations is 99 and 1929, like I just said. But if you were to go back to other times of elevated valuations on the stock markets, you know, let's say, I think the metric we used was 30% above normal in terms of valuations. And then you were to say, okay, let's look what happened at the 10 years after that, right? The 10 years going forward. And if we average all those times up over the last 120 years, what we get is an average annual rate of return of about 4% in the stock market. So be very careful with what you're expecting and where you're expecting to get it from. Now, having said all this, this doesn't mean that a collapse is going to happen. Right now, if we're talking about opinions, we'll do an opinion show at some point. I think that'd be fun. But we're talking about facts. Just because prices get elevated does not mean collapses are imminent. And again, we'll talk about that, why that is, in the next segment, an anatomy of collapse. But there's a second part to that question, right? So if elevations are so high, right, valuations are so high, there's so much risk out there, Zach. We hear you talking about it every time. Why are we taking any risk at all? Why don't we go all with risk-free assets and just play it really close to our vest? Well, I think the last 3 years are a really good example, right? Valuations, contrary to what's been talked about on CNBC, which if you listen to it regularly, don't, unless it's for humor purposes. If you invest according to that TV show, you're going to get rocked. Okay, just a tip from one guy to another, or one guy to another lady. But the last 3 years are a perfect example because we've been outside the norm on valuations on most metrics for over 3 years now. What have markets done? They've continued to go straight up. So we can't, you know, you can't judge it just based on that. The other thing that you've got to look about is, okay, when we say get less risky, what does that mean? Does that mean cash? Does that mean CDs? Does that mean bonds? And typically it means bonds and CDs, right? But we also have to factor in the reality that those instruments, although they are safe, I think bonds are much less safe than people perceive them to be, but while they are safe, they're certainly safer than stocks. When they're paying you as low an interest rate as they're paying you, they're inherently more risky. Why? Because they're not paying you as much. If you show me something that has the potential to lose 10 to 15%, but it's paying me 4 or 5, that's one thing, right? Now, if you show me that same instrument that, again, has the potential to lose me 10 or 15%, but it's paying me 2, that's a totally different scenario, right? It's different risk, different reward, different risk. Risk-reward ratio is different, right? And so we got to look at these things differently because the environment's different. But I think the key thing for clients to wait, look, if you're concerned about valuations and debt level, you should be. Right, everything we look at in financial history would tell us to be cautious, but it does not mean a collapse is coming. And when you're getting less risky, you've got to be very, very careful about how that is, right? I've met with clients in the last week who had started getting concerned, rightfully so, about 4 or 4.5 years ago. That's when valuations started creeping up above normal and economic growth was still way below normal. It's kind of a warning sign, right? But what have they been doing? They've been sitting on cash. Okay, well, cash is paying a record low rate of return. So that cash carries with it more risk than normal. We've got to take that into consideration. What do we really need? We need to stay exposed and to be able to benefit from the rising asset prices that are caused by what the central banks around the world are doing. But we also have to have a backup plan. Okay, because we're not going to get the rates of return that we need out of CDs and out of bonds. And you know, most of you know that. So we got to be a little bit creative. But we also have to keep an eye on security too and downside protection. So anyway, we're going to continue right on. Keep this stuff in your mind. Markets and valuations. Valuations don't make market collapses. So what does? What makes a market collapse? How does a market collapse work? What does it mean? We're going to talk about that next coming up. So stick with us through the break. As always, you can give us a call at 866-779-RISK. Call me up. We'll talk about this. I could talk about this stuff all afternoon. But we'll tell you exactly what we're doing with clients, how we're limiting risk, lowering their costs, their investment costs significantly, and actually increasing performance. It is possible. Give us a call. We'll tell you how to do it. We'll share you the information with you. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com, listen to all of our other segments. Hopefully there's some helpful information in there that'll help you out. But in the meantime, I hope you're enjoying the show. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back, and thanks for sticking with us. And I want to jump right into that. So we're talking about the whole show is based on questions that we've received from either clients or prospects or people that have called into the radio show recently. And these are questions that we've been asked over and over again. And I think it's all good general information for every investor to know and to understand. And so the last segment we talked about markets and valuations. There is no debate anymore. Are valuations on stocks and bonds, are they high? Yes. Are they obscenely high? Well, it depends on how you define obscene, but they're among the most expensive we've ever had. So I think obscene is probably not an unfair word to use, right? I mean, pretty much across all different metrics used to value stocks, we are at the extreme end, okay? So the clients I have or the people we meet with that accept that to be true, and I think everybody should, it's not really up for debate. Again, it's not opinions, it's facts. The question they had is, look, Zach, why are we taking any risk at all? Prices are so high. I think you're right. We read your booklet. You got all the information in there from the Federal Reserve. It seems pretty simple, right? Why are we taking any risk at all? Because the markets have to crash. And what we talked about in the last segment was no, high valuations do not necessarily mean markets are going to crash. Now, the average outcome is a crash. But sometimes that crash happens over a longer period of time. It's kind of a steady drawdown. Sometimes. Sometimes we've seen in the past where economic activity has picked up and made those prices look less obscene, but usually there's some kind of correction, right? Everything has to return to the mean, right? Math is a tricky deal. Hard to violate those mathematical laws. We all know that everything in the world is mean reverting. Means it's going to return to the average at some point. Just because Mike Zanino goes on a hot streak and hits a couple dingers and batting 400 over a 3-week stretch, you know, don't nominate him here. You don't expect a triple crown, right? And that's no knock on Mike, in case he's listening. I'm sure he's not. But, you know, it just means that, you know, averages are tricky. They exist because they're the most likely outcome. And everything eventually does. It returns to the mean. But it does not mean a crash is imminent. And the reason for that is I think most people have a misconception, and that's why we've entitled this Anatomy of a Collapse. Most people have a misconception of what a market crash really is. What does it mean? How does it happen? We were having this conversation at that investor meeting event that we hosted last week that I talked about in the last segment. And we were standing around a group of about five of us, and the subject of 2008, 2009 came up. And one guy said, it's all those greedy bankers. Another guy said, no, it's not their fault. It was the mortgage lenders. Another guy said, no, it's people's greed that drove it. And then naturally, I always try to keep quiet because, you know, these people know I have a radio show and they listen to me talk all the time. But they go, well, you know, what's your take on it? And I said, well, I mean, there's a portion of everything you guys are saying that is correct. But when we look at what causes a market crash, I think there's two sides to it, right? And I've talked about this on the air before, and it's the analogy of the pencil on a finger. If I'm balancing a pencil on my finger and a gust of wind comes along and blows it off, the people that are standing around and witnessing that, they might say, oh, well, that pencil's on the ground because that gust of wind blew it off. But that's not really the truth. The reason the pencil's on the ground is because it was unstable to begin with. It was able to be blown over by a gust of wind, which again, if we're looking at mathematic probabilities, it's an inevitability for a gust of wind to come along. So it's only a matter of time for that pencil to hit the ground, if that makes sense. Right? So that's one aspect of a collapse. Now, the other aspect of it is economic activity. Or abnormalities that build up in the system that become systemic. And they have a malignant nature to them, right? They spread into everything. The real estate collapse is a perfect example of that. Now, as to what the cause was, as most things, and there's still a lot of debate referring to the collapse of 2008, 2009, and, you know, exclusively, there's still a lot of debate about what caused it. But if you look back to 1998, you will see the dissolution of Glass-Steagall, which was part of, I believe it was, don't quote me, but part of the 1933 Securities and Exchange Act. There was legislation that was passed in response to the Great Depression. And it kept commercial banking and investment banking and insurance, it kept them all separate. They said, no, you got to be different entities. It's too much power to have collected under one roof. And in the same year, there was an extension. And again, you know, I should have this, but there was an addendum added onto, I believe it was the Community Reinvestment Act, which was an act that was originally passed, I want to say in the 70s or early 80s. You know, I'm going to do some more research on that and bring that back next week. But so there's these two pieces of legislation. The first one was Glass-Steagall. The second one was this addendum to an existing law. And that addendum made it mandatory for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who were the nation, you know, government-sponsored entities, GSEs. And they were basically, you know, and still are to a smaller degree than they were then, but the number one lending arm in the United States that's backed by the U.S. government. And it mandated that every loan that they issued, 50% of every loan that they issued had to go to subprime lenders. So in the same year, we had an act that removed all the restrictions toward the types of banks that could, you know, be together. So we got a traditional bank over here, deals with people like you and I. We got an investment bank over here like a Goldman Sachs. We have an insurance bank slash company like a Travelers Group, if you guys remember that. And we merge them all together. And at first glance, doesn't seem like that big a deal. But they're operating in completely different industries, right? And to think that they can do so without collusion is pretty naive. And that proved to be the case. Anyway, moving on, those two laws, and this always cracks me up, right? Some people blame Clinton, some people blame Congress. The interesting thing was that Congress at the time in 1998 was Republican, and we had a Democrat in White House, and they both agreed on this. So we got some good government cooperation, and it resulted in the biggest real estate collapse in history. So those of you out there arguing for better government working together and more cooperation, be careful what you ask for. But anyway, you had those two pieces of legislation that were groundbreaking, right? They changed the way that both the banking and the real estate markets worked. Within 9 years, you had a real estate-fueled financial collapse. To say that there is no correlation there is insane. But those are good illustrations of excesses in the economy, bad legislation, and malignant-type asset growth or whatever. You know, there's different. In 1929, it was illicit gambling on the stocks. That's a whole nother conversation. But that became malignant too, and that grew, and that became a big force of instability. In 1998, leading into the real estate collapse, it was the removal of those pieces of legislation that acted like watchdogs, right? That kept that from happening. In 1999, it was different. 1999 was just a classic collapse, right? Everybody thought everything was going to the moon. And when you have a market, you have to have people buying and selling on both sides, right? Well, when everybody is at the same side of the boat, prices go really high. The problem is you run out of buyers. So one or two guys decide, you know what? I want that new Porsche. I'm going to go cash in my stock. And there's nobody there to buy it for. So the last price on the stock was 92. But if there's nobody there to buy it for, maybe the next guy entered a bid on the stock at 82 3 weeks ago and he forgot about it. So now just off of one transaction, because there are no buyers left, everybody's bought it, the stock goes from 92 to 82. And the people that own it go, oh, what's going on? And then everybody rushes to the exits at the same time. So that's your kind of classic tulip mania type, just overvaluation. You know, markets just went too high and collapsed in on themselves. And then there's the malignant type of collapse. And it's very important to realize that in either case, it's impossible to determine when that, you know, classic crescendo type tulip mania collapse peaks out. And it's nearly possible to determine when the malignant type collapse is about to take place, because a lot of times that's hiding in places that we don't see. Again, 08, 09 is a perfect example of that. The point is that nobody, including Nostradamus or Jamie Dimon or Warren Buffett, and they'll tell you this, nobody knows when markets are going to bottom, when markets are going to top. It's a fool's errand. So what do? We manage risk. It's the only thing we can do. And managing risk today is different than at any time before. Why is that? Because the number one tool as retail investors and funds and pension funds, the number one tool we have used to manage risk over the last 100 years is fixed income, otherwise known as bonds. But there's a problem there too, because interest rates have reached the lowest level they're at in 3,000 years, which means bond prices are the highest they've ever been in history, and they're paying us a record low amount of yield. So if we look at them and we say, okay, bonds, here's the average performance of bonds. Hold on. It's not the average performance because we're so far outside the average in terms of price and in terms of interest rates. We got to look at it with fresh eyes. But the way that we protect ourselves both to the bottom and the upside, I was going to throw, we got to run, we're coming up against break, but I was going to throw this in there. You know, I was talking about the people that have recognized their issues, saw the problems, and I think they're seeing things pretty clearly, but their answer was to switch to gold and cash 4 years ago. That was a very expensive move. Right? How much money have they lost? There are risk-free vehicles that we've used for our clients that have made 20, 25% in that same period of time. I'm not guaranteeing those rates of return, by the way, but I'm just telling you. There are very safe investment vehicles that actually guarantee you against loss that have made 20 to 25% over those four-year periods of time that those people have been sitting on cash making nothing. Or they've been sitting on bonds making 1.5% net of fees. So how we're secure is important too. And coming up next, we're going to talk, well, actually, hold on. Coming up next, we actually have conversation with one of our favorite guests, one of our only guests, Mr. Dory Monson will be joining us. And then after that, the final segment of the show, we're going to talk about one of our, remember, we're always talking about risk management, okay? We're going to talk about number one favorite tool that we use to help manage risk, especially the secure side of the portfolio these days. And all of you could benefit to listen from it because there's massive misconceptions and misunderstandings about this tool. And I think it's pretty valuable. So we're going to talk about that. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, without further ado, the man of the hour or the man of the week or...
You know,
pick your time frame.
I think everyone's getting sick of these flowery introductions of me. I'm here so often that I don't know that I'm worthy of so many intros.
Well, we've got a lack of talent here on our show, Dory, and we've got to inject some here with some real professionals. But so what we're talking about this week is, and you and I have talked about this a lot, preservation of loss, right, or preservation of capital. And what an impact that not taking those big disastrous losses happens in the long run.
Sure.
Right? And what that looks like 20, 30 years out. And you and I have talked about it. We were going over that quantitative strategy, but you know, you can see that while so many investors focus on the performance in the upmarket, or I made 18% last year, right? One of the biggest deciding factors is, okay, but how do you look in the down markets?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, preserving your portfolio against those catastrophic losses.
Yeah, it's not that tough to make 30% in a great market if you lose 40% in down market.
Right,
if you're
right.
Taking those kinds of risks. And that's why, you know, and as you know, because you and I talk about it a lot, Zach, and I talk about it with my kids a lot, that you just want to have a strategy, a plan going in. You want to stick to it. Too many people are, you know, they're just whipsawed by markets going up. And then they plunge at the wrong time. They plunge at the top. Or the market's going down and they sell everything at the bottom. And when people panic, it's usually a result of not having a plan, and not having a plan makes you susceptible to emotion, and emotion is what brings most people down from accomplishing what their goals are.
Right, and one of the things we've talked a lot about on the show, but you and I have also talked about in that vein, is that getting clients to think about that before, right? Like not buying insurance after the fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, that preservation aspect of it, you shouldn't start chasing a market that's hot, and you shouldn't start selling indiscriminately because it's going down. We need to think a little bit opposite, right? Where in 2009 with our clients, it was, no, we're buying. Just close your eyes. We got to go in there and buy. There's great value.
Sure.
Today, it's the flip side. We're not, we can't predict crashes. Nobody can predict market movements. But we're sitting there going, look, people, this stuff is valued richer than it's ever been. The focus right now should be on preservation.
Yeah, well, it's like when people go to the store, and if something is priced way more than you think you should pay, you simply don't buy it.
Right.
Unfortunately, people don't do that in the stock market. And it's the same thing. When something's on a big sale, that's when you pick it up. But it's the opposite for many investors. When everything's on sale, they say, "Oh no, I don't want to buy right now." And yeah, just compare it to when you go to the grocery store, the department store, and you see something that's price is wildly out of whack, and you make your decision accordingly. Well, you should do the same thing with stocks, but when it comes to investing, people usually do the exact opposite of
right,
that.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's where you just come up with a good, solid, long-term plan, stick with it, and I think you do a fantastic job with that for all of your clients.
Well, thank you. And I think one of the other things that we've spent a lot of time talking about is that getting a little bit more secure or limiting that downside, it doesn't have to mean lack of returns. Right?
Right.
Quite frequently, we lower clients' fees when we increase the performance of the portfolio, but we also make it more secure. And it just has to do with what are you using, right? I just feel like too often it's binary, right? If we're secure or we're more stable, well, that means we're not going to make any money.
Sure.
No, that's not necessarily the case. And it's usually not. There's just smart things that we can do to limit that downside exposure. And like we said, that was kind of the mind frame that we were talking about all day on the show, is approaching things with the right idea, right? It's not all or nothing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I've seen all the news stories, and there certainly are some, indicators that suggest that there could be some tough times ahead.
Yeah.
But I've thought that for a while because it's been such an overpriced market. So I think that if I've seen the stuff, you and I have talked a lot about the stuff that you do for people so that they can be protected if it goes down, but still get some upside when things are going roaring ahead. So yeah, I like that. I like that plan, and I think that it's just a solid strategy for people. And man, if somebody plunges right now, I'd be real nervous. And I may have told you this, I may have even talked about it last time we were on the air together, but one of my daughters, who I've talked to so much about just being a good, steady investor and have a plan, stick with it, she goes, "Do you think I should invest in Bitcoin?" and she said, "It was 30 cents a few years ago, and it's 4,000 now." And I said, "Honey, look, we've been talking about this for years."
Yeah, yeah.
That no, you don't chase something like that, especially something that has a price that fluctuates, $300 or $400 a day.
And how old's your daughter?
This is my 23-year-old.
Oh, so my 27-year-old sister just told me last night that 2 weeks ago she invested $4,000 in a couple different Ethereum and Litecoin, two different, but the same thing, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there are people, I guess, who are making money on that.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the same people who, the one out of 50 who walks away from the roulette table a winner.
Yeah, right.
Because it's about the same thing.
Yeah, well, and we were saying that, I've done a lot of research into cryptocurrencies, right? Like, there's nothing there. There's no there.
Well, there's no underlying value.
Right.
Yeah, and so when you're buying something just because everybody else is buying it.
Tulip mania.
That's the worst thing you can possibly do. And so, it's very funny. And I said, "Look, I'm going to send you a couple." I sent her a couple of stories about it. I get it. But that's the thing. I've been talking to my kids about this for years because I want them to be financially educated. And even with all of my steady guiding counsel, Zach, they still, she was at least somewhat receptive to this idea that, man, maybe I should get in on this. And I talked her out of it.
The lure that, well done, sir. Yeah, I just spent the last 10 minutes trying to talk everybody out of it and trying to.
Oh, that's funny. I had no idea you were talking about that in your last segment. That's really funny.
And you probably are, but you're familiar with the whole tulip mania thing.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Of course.
And I would challenge every investor. If you're not familiar with that story, I mean, I think it's an incredibly powerful and impactful story that everybody that invests should know about that.
Yeah.
But go Google tulip mania and go read about it. This is not new. This is right. This is not the first centuries old.
Yeah.
Right. It's been happening for a long time. So check it out. But anyway, I appreciate that, and way to fight against the cryptocurrency war that I'm waging constantly.
Yeah, it's just silliness. You're buying ether.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's new one. The new one that came out a week ago was the name of the coin is the F word.
Okay.
And it's up 300% in the last 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, well, of course it is. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, there are certainly people who are making money, but it's usually the people who are starting these cryptocurrency. I mean, it's like a Ponzi scheme at that point.
Yeah.
And so that's not the way to go. Just have a good, solid plan. Stick with it. And get some good advice. And that's where Zach comes in.
That's right. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate you coming to visit, and I encourage all of you to stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. And thank you, Dory.
Thanks, Zach.
And you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, I'm going to say it. I am going to talk about, and I'm not just going to talk about it, I'm going to say the word, the dirtiest word in investing. And this goes, we're sticking right with our theme, client questions. Annuity. There, I said it. For all you stock loyalists out there, your blood's boiling. You Ken Fisher disciples, you're probably sitting there going, oh, this guy's one of those guys. He's an idiot. He's an insurance salesman. Look, I've grown up in this industry. I've literally never done anything else. I grew up in a brokerage firm. Father and grandfather started a brokerage firm back in the early 80s, and I literally had a crib in a brokerage firm. Studied finance and economics at college. You will not find somebody that is preached more against insurance as an investment than me. And you might ask, why are you talking about it now? Well, I am not a big fan of Keynesian economics, but John Maynard Keynes was a brilliant guy, the founder of Keynesian economics, if you didn't put that together. And he had a famous line that I think is brilliant, which is, when the facts change, so do my opinions. And let me tell you, kind of a primer on this, but before we do, what is the question here, right? The question is, there's several. We're wrapping into one on this one. But there's several. Zach, you're a stock guy. You say it's the greatest way to create long-term wealth. You say don't time the markets. So why do you want annuities? Or, I've heard annuities are horrible. Why are we talking about them? Annuities or insurance companies paying me back my own money. Basically, and I'm sure there's people out there listening right now. Look, I'm not going to try to convert you, but I just think it's important you hear about this. And feel free to call in with additional questions and comments. I can promise you there's no aspect of annuities that we haven't looked at, we haven't researched before we started recommending them to our clients. Certain clients, not for everybody. But why annuities now? So, let's scrap the word annuity. What if I told you And this is an honest question. So anybody listening to this in the car right now, I really want you to hear this question and think about what your reaction would be. If I told you right now that I had a high yield savings account that we offer our clients that's insured, so, you know, call it whatever, SIPC or FDIC insurance, guaranteed not to lose, and it's paying 6% a year, would you be interested? Well, I can tell you based on me meeting with clients and meeting with different people all week long, every week, that if we had a product like that, you know, we'd probably be the biggest RIA in Seattle already. We don't. But there's something out there that's really similar. Very similar. And it's called an annuity. Now, don't roll your eyes. Stick with me here. When we look at the average portfolio, especially for those that are close to retirement or in retirement, the way we manage risk historically is with bonds. But everybody knows that bonds are at record highs and interest rates are at record lows. So what does that mean? Whenever you're buying something at a higher price than it's ever sold at before, you have to understand that you are inherently taking more risk because the price of that is way outside of its norm. So if and when it returns to its norm, its long-term average, you will take a big loss. It's important to notice that when you're talking about interest rates and bonds, you're so far outside the norm. If we go back 3,000 years in recorded history, we cannot find evidence of zero or negative interest rates. Okay, so we're way off the beaten path. And why do we own this asset that's at prices that were never, you know, thought possible and interest rates that are close to zero? Why do we use that product? We use it to give us safe growth. Is it providing us growth? For most clients, it's not. Most clients, if we net out fees, 12B1 fees inside the bond funds themselves and an advisory fee on top, you're barely clearing and usually coming in below the inflation rate on the bond portion of your portfolio. Okay, so that's a really low bar to jump over. On top of that, you're taking rising interest rate risk, meaning, hey, rates are as low as they've ever been. Where do you think they're going to go next? At some point, they're probably going to go up. Now, if they don't and we're wrong, congratulations, your asset will continue to pay you less than the inflation rate. Right? It's not exactly a win. Now, if we're right and rates go up, which they have to at some point, not only are those bonds paying you less than the inflation rate, but they're going to lose money. They're going to create capital losses in your accounts. So as a fiduciary, as a manager of our clients' assets, we started looking for an alternative and we were really unbiased about it. Look, we got to get out of this whole bond thing. We got to find a safer place to park money. And what we found, now don't go out and buy one of these because, look, it's not something special that only we have access to. We just approach it a little bit differently. Most annuities, first of all, there's tons of them, variable annuities, fixed annuities, SPIAs, single premium, indexed annuities. There's fixed indexed annuities. There's tons of them. We focus in on the fixed indexed annuity that's, first of all, guaranteed against loss. And it's stripped of all of its insurance riders. So it's got no guaranteed death benefit. It's got no lifetime income benefit, which are ripoffs. It has no signing bonus, which is a ripoff. Surprise, surprise. And we take it down to what we call the chassis or just the heart of the product, which is basic. You're guaranteed against loss and they give you a percentage of the upside of the S&P or whatever index you choose to market it against. Right now, the best product out there is a product, believe it or not, by Nationwide. You know, Nationwide is on your side. Don't criticize the singing, but I think we've all heard of Nationwide. They got a new product that just came out where they offer clients 60% of the upside of the S&P 500. What does that equate to? Well, looking out over the last 25 years, using market averages and actual performance, somewhere between 5.5%, 6.5% a year, depending on the time frame. And you're 100% guaranteed against loss, and you have no annual fee on that. There's no fee. There's no upfront cost, no annual fee. What's the net result? Clients have averaged right around 6.2, 6.3% a year. Guaranteed against loss. Not interest rate sensitive because it's getting its gains from the stock market, not from interest rates. It's a wonderful risk management tool that have made clients a good amount of money, especially in record low interest rates. There's no catches, guys. We're a fiduciary. I don't care. I'm not an insurance company. And it's embarrassing to talk about it because it's shunned in this industry, but it's better for clients. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. Thanks for listening today. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. Go Hawks.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.